Turn to one of my favorite passages of Scripture, if you would. Nehemiah chapter 8, please. Please stand in love, out of love and respect for God's word, if you would, please. I'm going to read the first 8 verses here in Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to talk about something. I don't know if you've noticed, but on Wednesday nights, I've been going through some different character traits for the Christian life. And we're going to discover another one tonight. So this is kind of the direction God has led me to go down that path. And so we're going to do that. But I'll read, you follow along, Nehemiah chapter 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the 7th month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Messiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Pedadiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbadana and Zechariah and Melshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akub and Shebathai and Hodijah and Messiah and Kelita and Azariah and Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. I love this passage of Scripture. It is so explanatory of what church is supposed to be like. It really is. Now, not that you have to stand the whole time. We have pews for a reason. I mean, we could just clear them out and just come stand around a church, right? Well, probably not. But they did, right? And for a very long time, if you will. But I want you to go back to verse 3, and I want you to look at the end here. And it says, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And that's what we're going to talk about as a Christian. Not just hearing God, but being attentive to God. Attentive. Very special word. Very special meaning for the believer. How many of you parents, right, would love it if your children were attentive rather than just able to hear, right? And sometimes they say no, but sometimes they do say yes. So then my next question is, why didn't you do what I told you to do? Okay, well, it's because they're not being attentive. Yes, so heedful. When we actually heed something, that means we actually do what we heard, right? Intent. Intent. Have you ever met someone who was not intent on doing something? They just got around to it whenever, right? But if someone who was intent on doing something, they did it immediately. You know, one of the things that we tell children obedience is doing what you're told immediately, right away, without delay, diligently. The Bible describes things like that. Being observant. Observant indicates there's some sort of sight involved. Okay? We are going to see what's happening. Well, then he says, regarding with care. Regarding with care means that you're actually going to do something about it. You're not just going to hear and you're not just going to see. You're going to do. So tonight we're just going to talk about these three elements that make the word attentive, attentive. It makes it what it is. Hearing, seeing, and doing. As a believer, these three are when we say, God, I hear you, right? If we hear, see, and do, he knows that we have. But if we only do one of those, if you just do, right, without hearing and seeing, sometimes I'll start talking and asking my children or even my school kids to do something, and before I'm even done, they're halfway out the door. I mean, I'm all for the initiative there, but I'm not done. I haven't finished what I want you to do. So we got to wait on that to know what to do or how to do it or some little bit of an explanation so it gets done correctly. Okay? Or it's like in these we go to these youth rallies and things, these kids, they'll stand up halfway through a question. Well, okay, you think you know the answer, but maybe that's not the direction the question was going. And there may have been some preliminary stuff that needed to be said before the actual question was asked. And you're going to look like a fool because you're standing up there going, what? Could you finish? No, I'm not finishing the question. You know, some of these quiz contests, they make you finish the question and then give the answer. If you stand up too early, I think they do something like that. That's tough. So let me finish what Mr. Webster said. He said it is applied to the senses of hearing and seeing as an attentive ear or eye, to the application of the mind as in contemplation, or to the application of the mind together with the senses above mentioned, hearing and seeing, as when a person is attentive to the words, the manner and matter of a speaker at the same time. So when the people were standing there listening to Ezra, the priest, he read to them, and it says that the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. If you keep reading, you see that the people did something about what they heard. They were lacking in some areas, and I'm not, for sake of time tonight, and I'm not preaching about this subject per se, but they actually did something about what they heard. And remember what it said here, that not only did they hear, but he opened the book in the sight of all the people. They were watching as well. So folks, let's just look at some things tonight about hearing. First of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, you can just listen. It says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that I may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel that Israel was attentive to Moses? I don't. Well, they may have heard, but I'm not sure that they saw and they did. You see, Israel had a problem, just like maybe we have a problem. We know quite a bit as a believer, don't we? We've heard quite a bit as a believer, but how much are we actually doing? Remember, he said, hear therefore and observe to do it. Hear,
see, do. It's right there. Proverbs 1:8, Solomon said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." How did Rehoboam do? Not so good. Not so good. How'd you like some of the most famous words in all of history be written to you, and then it be written of you that you didn't follow them? Wah, 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 wah. Right? Yeah, he failed miserably. And he had the wisest man in all the world as his father, telling him exactly how to be successful. And he disregarded it. He heard, but he wasn't attentive to it. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Proverbs 28:9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." Turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at what Jesus says about this subject of hearing and being attentive. You know this passage of scripture and the parable that I'm about to tell you about. It's the parable of the sower, right? Wonderful parable. And of course, many messages have been preached and can still be preached and probably will be preached on this subject. And maybe even by me one day, you never know. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, I'm not going to focus on the parable today, tonight rather. I want to focus on who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You see, we have ears. Sound waves travel and reverberate on the little drum in the skin. You know, we can go into the whole science thing. I could bring a little chart with the ear and the little hammer bone and all those things. Okay, I've taught elementary science before. All right, we're not going to do that, but you understand how that all works, right? Sends a signal to your brain and you hear. Okay, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being attentive. Being attentive. He says, "Hear." So look at verse 10. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah." Okay? I'll read it to you. Isaiah 42:18. We're taking a little time out here, okay? "Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not." Back to verse 14. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and by seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing." I mean, how many times have you ever thought about that? How people say, "Well, I've heard that before, and I've heard that before, and I've heard that before." Then why aren't you doing it? Then why aren't you heeding it? Why aren't you intent on listening to it? Why aren't you being attentive to it if you've heard it before? Their eyes are dull of hearing. And their eyes, let me get back to the Bible, please. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Can't see it. It's not there. Right? Lost my spot again. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. And I should heal them. Now listen to what he says to the disciples. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. Folks, we have a privilege. A privilege because of salvation. We can actually hear. You know, this book is understood by us because we have the Holy Spirit of God within us telling us what it's about. Lost people don't. They don't. And guess what? They don't understand. They don't get it. They're not going to. They're lost. But we do, and we can. We are blessed because our eyes, they can see, and our ears, they can hear. We have that opportunity to hear. Luke 19:48 says, and could not find what they might do, for all the people very attentive to hear him. This is speaking of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They couldn't do anything because the people were listening. They were attentive to Jesus and to his words, and they were believing that he was the Son of God. And they couldn't take him and arrest him like they wanted to until his hour had come. James 1:19, you know this verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Folks, we need to work on hearing. Jesus said, we're blessed because our eyes can see and our ears can hear. We have the ability, we just need to do it. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear the way of God. We need to make it a part of our lives. We need to do what Webster said and be heedful. And have intent and be observant and regard with care the things that we hear. Now let's talk about seeing. Many of these verses that I read to you already speak of hearing and seeing because they work together in tandem. Right? Yeah. You see, our ears kind of help us to see things, right? And our eyes help us to hear things. They work together. You talk to someone who's deaf, right? And their eyesight is a little sharper than ours is probably, right? Being alone, single. Those who cannot see, they hear things that we do not hear. But those of us that can hear and see, we should have the advantage. Right? And Jesus said that in verse 16 in Matthew 13. Let me tell you some things that we should look for in our lives. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for him to come back? Is that what you're seeing? In Jude 121, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Are you looking for opportunities to show mercy? Or are you looking for equality and fairness? You know, the church of the Laodiceans, in Revelation, if you study that out, it means people's rights, rights of the people. And it's the one church that was mentioned as not necessarily a church in a place, but a church of a people. All they cared about was their rights. What do you say about them? I'm going to spew you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. You're neither hot or cold. And I don't like this mediocrity. And I don't like this thing that you think that you have rights. Guess what, folks? We don't have any rights. We're bought with a price. We are not our own. We don't deserve anything. We've got to understand that we need to show mercy. Our Lord showed mercy to us. Why shouldn't we show mercy to others? Remember the parable about the guy that was forgiven all that money? Some equated that amount to be millions of dollars of debt that he had accrued. And for $2, he goes and throws his friend in jail. What happened to that man? Bad things. What did his master ask him? He said, I showed you mercy. Why couldn't you show mercy to him? You know, a lot of times we need to do, we don't look for that. Look, go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, we need to open our eyes and see these things. And it should, our eye should affect our heart. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Our academy kids are learning 2 Peter. They're just about to get into chapter 3. This week they're quoting all of chapter 2. I think so far Oliver, Yadira, and Ethan have done the whole chapter perfectly this week, along with a couple of other our kids at the academy. But look at verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You know what? Isn't that what looking for Jesus and looking for the future of what's going to happen supposed to drive us to be? You see how that the sight that we see drives our being. It shows us who we're supposed to become. God said he wants to present his church to him, a spotless church, a blameless church, right? A glorious church. And aren't we supposed to live a righteous life because a righteous life because of what we have seen with our eyes? Over and over again, the disciples gave witness in the book of Acts that these things they had seen, they had witnessed, they're showing them to these people in these different cities and towns and churches because they had witnessed them. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus saw the Lord Jesus. Peter, James, and John, and all these other guys, well, they walked with him. They saw him. They saw the works that he did. And listen, folks, just because we were not there in Christ's day, we have been there because of this book. We have seen him. We do know the Savior. And it should affect our lifestyle and our life. Remember what Job said? For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Folks, we've seen him because of salvation. Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 37:34 says, Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. We're going to see some things. We're going to be made known they're going to be made known to us because of our sight. 1 John 3, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Are you looking forward to that? When our eyes will see the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll see heaven, we get to see it with our eyes. It should drive us to serve Him. It should drive us to do. You know, back in Nehemiah, when the people heard with their ears and they saw with their eyes what they should do, they did it. They did it. At times, Israel would hear with their ears and see with their eyes what they should do and what they should be as God's people. And at times, they did it. And then when their ears got dull of hearing and their eyes were closed, they turned away from doing what God wanted them to do. They were no longer attentive to God and His Word. Christian, we've got to fight that. How do we fight getting dull of hearing? How do we fight getting closing our eyes? We fight it by doing. Doesn't the Bible say in Galatians 6:9, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." But what happens as in old age our ears get dull of hearing, right? And our eyes. I mean, what happened in the Old Testament? Isaac, right? His eyes waxed dim. And his son, Jacob, was able to deceive him. Right? Like, putting some lamb skin on his arms there and about his neck, right? Making him the savory meat that he liked. And he stole the blessing. Why? Because his eyes were closed. Couldn't see. Go to James chapter 1. You know this passage of Scripture. I hope that in all these things you see how wonderfully the Word of God works together for all these different applications. James chapter 1. Look at verse 22. "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer..." Now listen to how it puts this together, and I'm going to show you how this works with attentiveness. "Not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." What is that? That's seeing. It doesn't say seeing, but it does. "For he beholdeth himself," he sees, right? "And goeth his way." This is seeing and yet not seeing. But Jesus said that you can see and you can hear. You're blessed. "And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein," that's doing, "he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." The culmination of attentiveness is doing. Is actually responding or regarding with care to what we've heard and seen. Our eyes should affect our heart. Our ears should affect our heart. And our heart should drive us to do for the Lord. Psalm 31:23 says, "O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." Now, it's not talking about sinful pride. It's someone who's confident in their work, the proud doer. Hey, the man that was given 5 talents, he wasn't lifted up in pride. But he earned 5 other because he was able to and he was confident in his work and he received, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Likewise, the man with 2. You know who wasn't a proud doer? The guy with 1. Because he said, "Oh, I was afraid of you, so I put it in the earth." Oh, okay. That's not what God wants from us. He wants us to be confident in the work that he has told us and shown us, and he wants us to do it. That's being attentive. Just an Old Testament example. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 30 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 20 and 5 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shelai. And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now there are some kings of Israel and Judah that did those things that were right, and there were some that did not. Actually, the vast majority did not. But some did. You know what? I don't know if it's any different in the Christian life. We really dig hard on the children of Israel, don't we? Of how their life in history was like a roller coaster, right? Serving God, failing, serving God, failing, serving God, failing, serving God, you know. And really, honestly, the kings of Judah were a little more roller coastery. The kings of Israel were kind of like one here, flat line for 7 or 8 kings, and one good one, flat line, you know. It was horrible. But can we be honest for a second? Is it really much different amongst believers today? Is it really? How attentive are we to God? Could we be like the people in Nehemiah's day? We have time. Go back to Nehemiah 8, and then we're going to jump to Ephesians 6. Is that okay? I got to find Nehemiah again. Here, I printed it on this paper. I can cheat. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man. Aren't we encouraged as the body of Christ to be as one? To be united as brethren in Jesus Christ? As the body of Christ. And the body is supposed to be one collective unit. Working together. Not opposing itself. Remember I did this before? Okay. Yeah. I mean, it would be really annoying for my hand to do this to me during the whole message. Right? It would be really distracting for you. No, my body should work together in unison. These people were gathered together as one man in the street. And we read in verse 3 that they were attentive. Their ears were attentive. You know what? All the people were attentive unto the book of the law. All of them together. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll leave off with this tonight. I hope that in hearing and seeing, you can go forth and do these things and be attentive to the Lord with your life. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 6. This kind of defines what doing something is. And I'll illustrate in just a moment. Oh, let's go back to verse 5. It's too good. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Aren't we commanded that whatever we do, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might? Isn't it spoken of Saul, Saul spoke of himself as Paul, that he was zealous toward the things of the Pharisees when he was a Pharisee, but he retained that zeal in the work of the Lord as a Christian. So should we. You know, you can grab a piece of paper, and you can walk up and down the halls of your office at work and say, yep, got to get this done. And all you're doing is walking back and forth. And you've got a piece of paper, and you look like you're busy doing something, but you're not doing anything. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Not just when everybody can see. But what do you do when nobody sees? Are you doing the things that you've heard? Doing the things that you've seen? Or do you do something different? Maybe your ears have dulled from hearing, and your eyes are faint and waxing dim and getting closed to what you have seen. You're not being, no longer being attentive. You know, a lot of times, and no offense to anybody, but a lot of times children are known for not being very attentive. And sometimes older folks, because they cannot hear or cannot see, are accused of being not attentive, which is not always the case. Okay, there are no old people in here, so that's okay. We have no problem with that. But it's not that they're not attentive. They're sometimes accused of that because they can't hear very well or they can't see very well. And so they're told that they're not attentive to it. But really, maybe they are. You know how we know? We know by what they do. By their fruits, ye shall know them. You know how I know a young person is being attentive to me? When I see them do what I've told them or shown them to do. Why are we not any different as children of God? Doesn't He see if we're being attentive? Doesn't He know if we're being attentive? We've got to work on this characteristic. This is a character trait that it needs to be in the life of a believer. To be attentive. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. We need to hear, see, and do.